was hoping he would not do that well preaching. Time to have to follow somebody that does preaching like that. But boy, it's been good this week. Praise the Lord. I will say this. I'll have to leave after this morning service. Now, normally on this date of his meeting, my wife is with me, and we for years and years have celebrated our anniversary down here. So today's our anniversary, 55 years today. And so my wife's a little fuzzy on that now because she has some troubles there, but Lord knows that. We're not complaining against God. Lord's still good. Doesn't matter what happened to us in life, he's still good. And we appreciate the goodness of God. And so if I don't get home, there'll be somebody mad at me. Amen. I was in a meeting down in McCreary County, and Brother Archie with the Inspirations, we were down there in a meeting, and he got up and sung a song that the thought of it is, when I can't remember him, I'm glad he won't forget me. I like that thought right there. That's a good thought, and I'm thankful. Now, I came down here all prepared to preach, and then after I got here, the Lord changed my mind, basically this morning. And I might have two or three in here that's heard this, but they's probably sleeping when I preached it, so it won't really matter because they won't recognize it. But and the thing of it is, somebody read this passage before I got up here yesterday, I believe it was, in the book of Acts chapter number 3, and we'll start reading at verse number 1 and read down through verse number 6. This has already been read, but I'm not preaching what they preach. So I had a fella got up one time and said, I heard Brother Broughton preach on sinners in the hands of an angry God. And I think, my goodness, they'll think I got that from Jonathan Edwards. But it was not the same message, because I wanted to preach on sinners in the hands of angry God, and then that Sunday night preach on God in the hand of angry sinners. The Lord God was in the hand, our Lord Jesus was in the hand of angry sinners. But anyway, verse number 1, chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on me, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I like this story. Of course, you get on down in that text, he probably wouldn't fit in a Baptist church, because he starts leaping and jumping and running and praising God, but he did have something marvelous happen to him. And when I looked at that text, verse number 6 there, where he states, silver and gold have I none, and I thought that there's no way possible that this could be a Catholic saying this, you know, because they claim Peter's the first pope, and but their pope's got silver and gold. Peter and John had no silver and gold. And it looks like now that they have nothing. And so I want to take that thought this morning and preach upon this subject. You've got more than you think. Everybody in here that's saved has more than we think. None of us really can measure what all we have in the Lord Jesus. I've been preaching him for 53 years, and I'm finding out more and more what I have in the Lord Jesus. I've not exhausted it yet. And so when they come to this man, and I believe everybody in here could say that he is a type of a sinner because everything about him that God describes is typical of a sinner. You look at him and he has a portrait painted of him. He's lame to start out with. He can't walk right. Sinners can't walk right. They have to have some outside help in order to walk right. And then from his mother's womb, it said he was lame from his mother's womb. And then it made the statement that he had to be carried daily to place in front of somebody that give alms to him. And of course, he's asking alms. He's begging, expecting to receive something. And you get to looking at him, and this is not a child. The fourth chapter says he's 40 years of age on whom this miracle was performed. And so it was his lot. I kind of find this amusing. It was his lot to come upon two Baptist preachers that were broke. They had nothing. They didn't have any money to give him. And so they say, we don't have any silver and gold, but such as we have, give we unto thee. And I like that little phrase, there, such as we have. I read that over there in the book of Esther where her uncle said to her, you know, it may be that God has raised you up for such a time as this. I like the book of Corinthians where he talks about that no whoremonger or fornicator or murderer shall enter in heaven, but he said, but such were some of you. And so Peter and John say, we don't have anything, but such as we have, we give unto you. And I want to preach the thought that we've got more than we think. Now, look at Peter here. I'm just using Peter and making an application to us this morning. I look at Peter, and this man has had a taste of something divine. He knows what it is to have something from God. Go with me just a few areas in his life where Peter has contact with the Lord Jesus. First of all, if you go back there to the original mention of Simon Peter, he had a call of God on his life. He had a call of God. He heard a voice one day say, follow me. And he was out there mending his nets and cleaning his nets, and the Bible said that he threw his nets down and he followed Jesus. He knew what it was to have a call of God on his life. Now, I take for granted that I believe this would be true this morning, that everybody in here has had that call of God in your life. That's not a minimal thing. It is the major thing in our life. If we've ever heard the voice of God call us out of what we were in and call us unto himself, you got more than you think. That call is still working in your life. I can still hear that voice. Praise God for that. And you know, he said, you follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And they left their nets and followed Jesus. He had a taste of something that was heavenly and divine. But now, notice that call, God confirmed that call in his life. Now, I'm just kind of going down the life of Simon Peter here and trying to illustrate what we have, and we've got more than we think we do. He had that call confirmed. One day, in the book of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus got to question his disciples, and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some said, thou art Isaiah, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. But he said, whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered up, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned to him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, upon this rock, not Peter now, Peter's that little stone, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, you know, if you ever had a call of God on your life, did you know God has confirmed that in you over and over again? How many, many times? Well, I've had it confirmed here this week. I had seen Brother Ferguson there for a long while. I talked to him. He called me here back 3 or 4 months ago. But Brother Richardson will remember this. I remember being in here probably 25 years ago. Brother Bob was preaching here. And I told him the other day he preached 3 minutes and I was bawling like a baby. Because he was going through some of the difficulties he had in his life at that time. I was going through a difficulty with one of my daughters at that time. And it just seemed like that the message of God was meant just for me. And my goodness, did God help me that day. He helped me that day. He's helped me this week. We've heard some great preaching here this week. Thank God for that. And God has a way of confirming that call in your life. Over and over, you got more than you think. And then notice a little farther in his life, he knew what it was to be corrected in his life. I look at his situation there. He goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he doesn't know what to say up there. And he said, Lord, it's good that we're here. Let us build 3 tabernacles. One for you and one for Moses, one for Elijah. That time he got that out of his mouth, he got corrected. He said, I'll tell you what, Simon Peter, there's a voice came from heaven and said, Simon Peter, this right here is my beloved son. There's no equal to him. You don't have to build another tabernacle. He's enough. Thank God he's enough. And so God kind of gave him a moment of correction there. And then he had some chastisement in his life. We're not painting Peter to be a perfect man because he's like us. We all have our imperfections. Peter was that one that denied that he knew the Lord and even cursed while he was denying the Lord. And Jesus out there in the hands of sinners, again, he was in the hands of sinners, and he denied that he knew the Lord. And Jesus, walking out, looked over there at Simon Peter and didn't say a word to him. Never opened his mouth, never rebuked him. But he looked at him, and the Bible said that when Jesus looked on him, he went out and wept bitterly. Now, God was chastening him there. He knew something about the chastening of God. But he also knew something about the comfort of God. Peter, you're going to deny me. Before this night is over, you'll deny me 3 times. Peter said, not me. We're willing to die with and go to prison. But he said, and boy, these are comforting words. He said, but I have prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He knew what it was to have a taste of that which is divine. But now let me go a step farther. I'm trying to hurry here to get 3 or 4 points in. He knew what it was. Thank the Lord, I like this. And he knew what it was to have a touch of God on his life. Not only a taste of God, but he had a touch of God. Now I'm just using his life as an illustration of us. That we got a lot more than we think we have. Peter was one of those that was there in John in the 20th chapter when the Bible said that Jesus appeared and he breathed on them. Now you talk about a touch of God. The touch of God, the breath of God. I remember years ago I had Brother John Rawlings preached at a preacher's meeting on us, and he went through the Bible, and he preached on every time the breath of God was mentioned in the Bible. He started there in the book of Genesis where he breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and they became a living soul. And he went all the way through the Bible and took that thought and preached it. I never forgot that message. And every person in here today that is saved, you have the breath of God on your life. Because if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that Peter had. And though he didn't have any
Silver and gold, thank God he knew something about a touch of God on his life. Now, if that wasn't enough, over and over again, we have a touch of God in their life. If that was not enough, he was there in Acts chapter number 2. He had been in that upper room where the Lord said, "You tarry there until you be endued with power from on high." And he was there when that rushing mighty wind came in and blew into that place. And he felt the power of God on his life. And God breathed on him again there. He had the breath of God in his life. And if that's not enough, you go over to the book of Acts chapter 4 and you see the result of that touch of God on his life, because the Bible said that he preached with boldness. And they couldn't understand how these ignorant, unlearned men could be so bold. I got to thinking about that the other day and thinking about all of us that are preaching the Word of God. God probably reached down into many different vocations and pulled a man out of that and pulled a person out of that and put you into ministry. I was on the radio the other day and Brother Carr was kind of talking to me about when God called me to preach and I won't know how it happened. And I said, "Well, to be honest with you, when I surrendered, I was milking a Holstein cow, sitting with a bucket down there with a power milkers, you know. Some of y'all don't know what that is. I was milking by hand, all right? And to think now that God would take a fisherman, to think that God would take a farmer, to think that God would reach down and take somebody out of an entirely different vocation and breathe upon them and place his power within them and put a call upon them. And then they could stand up in a pulpit and take the Word of God and preach a word that'll take a man from sin and make him fit for heaven. I talk about, boy, we've got more than we think we have. Thank God, everybody in here that's saved and called of God, you've got more than you think you've got. Sometimes I wish we could realize what God has instilled within us and given to us. Now, let me give you a third thought here. He not only had a taste and touch, but he had his testimony. I like this one. This is a good testimony. You ever have people come around? I have this there at church. Sometimes somebody stops and they want something and they drop a name on me. They drop a name. I had one fella come by. He was begging and he said, do you know Jack Hiles? I said, "Yeah, I've heard him preach. I've heard him preach." He asked me, said, "Do you know Curtis Hudson?" I said, "Yeah, I've heard him preach." Boy, he started dropping names on me. Probably hadn't been in church in years. But he was dropping them names. Now, you want to drop a name, boy, right here's a way to do it. A testimony now. I have been with Jesus. Now, buddy, that's dropping a name right there. I have been with Jesus. The Bible said that they even took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. You know, it's kind of evident when you get around somebody that's been with Jesus. And I thought about when you get around somebody that's been with Jesus, they want to talk about him. They want to tell you about it. They want to tell you about some of the experiences that they've had in life. They want to tell you some of the miracles that God has performed on their behalf. They want to tell you some of the times that God came to their rescue. Now, here is a man that has been with Jesus. He, even though everybody knew that he was ignorant and unlearned, he hadn't been to Bible college. He hadn't been to some school of learning. He had walked with Jesus for 3 years. And there was something that rubbed off on him about being with Jesus. he had more than he thought. Even though he had no silver and gold, he'd heard the words, he'd walked with Jesus, he'd seen his works, he worshiped him, he had been with Jesus. Now, a third thing here, fourth thing, he has a truth. He has a truth. Boy, I'll tell you, if you don't have anything else, you need the truth. You need the truth. And I was thinking about Simon Peter here. He had a truth about the Savior. Now, this is out of his mouth. I'm just quoting out of his mouth. Everybody, just quote what Peter said. In the fourth chapter, when he refers back to this miracle, that he has no silver and gold, he said this. When they looked at this man and they were marveling by what power this man was now walking. Here's what Peter said. I want you to know that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Man, he had a truth that's still as true today as it was then. We're still preaching that name. There's still power in that name. There's still salvation in that name. There's still healing in that name. Praise God. And so Peter gets up here and he lets them know that I've got a Savior that Brother Bob preached about right there, that he lived and he died and he was buried and he rose again for the grave, for our justification. And there's salvation in no other name but that name. Man, we've got more than we think. I like this. He had a treasure. Every one of us in here has got a treasure. Isn't it amazing that he's put it in a vessel like this? Of all places to put a treasure. My goodness, most people, they hide their treasure. God put a treasure within you. You can't get away. You can, listen to this. You can take your treasure with you wherever you go. Because I wouldn't have, if you're talking about cash, I wouldn't have a whole lot of that to take with me, no matter where I went. But I do have a treasure in an earthen vessel. Carry it with me everywhere I go. Praise God. I remember I heard Brother Tony Hudson, I believe it was talking about some preacher came down there and they went to a restaurant and had a line up and he said that the visiting preacher went up to that waitress and said, ma'am, I'm with some ambassadors here. Oh, you are? Yes, I'm with some ambassadors. And so said she left and came back a little while and said, y'all come in and be seated. And of course, she didn't know that he was talking about ambassadors for Christ. And so he called them right in and set them down in front of everybody. I will tell you, you got a treasure in you. You're an ambassador for Christ. You got something. You got more than you think you've got. And then let me say this, and I'll try to close on this one. He had a talent. Now, I don't know on this, but this blessed me when I saw this. Here is a man that got up and preached and had 3,000 saved in one message. And go on over there a little bit and had 5,000 more saved. And let me say that you will not get a greater message anywhere in the world than Acts chapter number 2. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. But it was not possible for him to be holden of death. Man, that's a great message. And he brought application there. And let me just say this, that he had more than he probably thought he had. Now, I had an illustration on that, and I'll give you these couple of illustrations, and then I'll be done, and I'll sit down. If y'all remember, there was a little widow woman that came in to the temple area, and people were casting their treasury in the offering. And and Jesus was standing there watching. And she probably didn't show it to anybody, but she threw in two mites. But Jesus saw it. And when he saw her do that, he signaled her out and he said, I want to tell you, everybody here, that this woman has given more than y'all. Oh my, you talk about eating at him. She had more than they had. She had something that she was able to give it all to him. Isn't that a blessing? We got more than we think. Here's another illustration. Elijah comes to a widow woman, about ready to cook her meal, and heard her son's going to die. He said, ma'am, would you go fix me a cake? And she said, oh, Ben, my little boy's going to fix this one, and we're going to eat it and die. But nevertheless, at thy word. And she went and fixed him a little cake. And the next morning, she goes out there and looks in the barrel, and she's got enough meal for another meal. And she's got enough oil. And she does that throughout that famine that was in the land. She had more than she thought. And let me just say this morning in closing, every one of us in here really have more than we think we have. And so no use complaining against God. Just praise the Lord for what he's given us. Bless his name that we have what he's got. Amen. Father, pray you'd bless the word of God today. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. Pray you'd be with the rest of the preaching now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.